Leadership is a challenging role, but even more so when navigating a crisis. Just after 9/11 shook America to its core, Chuck Swindoll delivered a message that examines 8 timeless lessons for leaders in the aftermath of a catastrophe. Today on Insight for Living, we feature this compelling message, including all the references to the nation's uncertainty. Whether you're leading a country through a tragedy, a business through a transition, or a family through a difficulty, these biblical principles offer a roadmap for leaders. Chuck titled his message, Leading as Paul Led.
Good leaders are not people pleasers. Good leaders are not greedy. Look at verse 5. We never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrases that, we never used words as a smokescreen to take advantage of you. Isn't that a good rendering? Preachers can do that. People who deal with spiritual things are fairly good with words, and they can manipulate people. And they can often say things that come back to their own advantage. Greed is a vicious master. A good leader is not deceitful. A good leader is not a people pleaser. A good leader is not greedy. And good leaders are not self-serving. Verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. But don't miss the last part of the verse. Even though, as apostles of Christ, we might have asserted our authority. I wish to shout. Apostles? You've never met one, nor I. Apostles were a rare breed. They literally had seen the resurrected Christ. They literally could perform miracles. They literally founded churches. They had incredible discernment and gifts of words of wisdom. They were like the Lord's right-hand men at crucial and critical times. And Paul was one of them. One of them. The Apostle Paul stepped in, proved himself a worthy apostle. And with that comes a sense of recognition and respect. Why? The thought of being mentored by or taught by an apostle? Who wouldn't stand in line for that? They could speak ex cathedra. Remarkable. Remarkable individuals, but even though as an apostle of Christ we might have asserted our authority, we refused to throw our weight around. One of the most obvious marks of genuine humility is the restraint of those who have great authority. It's not what they display, it's what they hold back that reveals true leadership. They don't throw their weight around. They don't try to impress other people. They don't take unfair advantage. Oh, speaking of that, it was 1952 when Elton Trueblood wrote a fine book called Your Other Vocation. If you're a professional, listen to this statement from Trueblood. It's hard to think of any job in which the moral element is lacking. The skill of the dentist is wholly irrelevant if he is unprincipled and irresponsible. There is little in that case to keep him from withdrawing teeth unnecessarily, because the patient is usually in a helpless situation. It is easy to see the harm that can be done by an unprincipled lawyer. Indeed, such a person is far more dangerous if he is skilled than if he is unskilled. Every one of us engaged in a profession has an enormous opportunity to take advantage of and to seek the glory from others. Just the very calling of our role and just the education and just the command of it causes people just naturally to listen to us and to be willing to cooperate with us. The apostle says, we never once sought the glory of men. That's a remarkable statement. Good leaders are not self-serving. So much for the things that are not to take place. Did you get them? Deception, people-pleasing, greed, conceit or arrogance. It's time for the positive. See the word but in verse 7? But it's a very sharp and strong adversative conjunction. Doesn't that thrill you? Adversative conjunction, meaning at this point he says, on the contrary, exclamation point. Rather than these four qualities, let me tell you, and you know it to be true because you and I lived among one another during those weeks I ministered to you, but we proved I like that. The first quality that's true of good leaders is that they are sensitive to needs. That's in verse 7. We prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. I love that word picture. I have lived long enough not only to see my own wife and the mother of our children nursing our little babies, but I have now lived to see our daughters do that. It is the most, I rarely use the word as a man, but I got to use it. It's the most precious sight. It's the most tender moment as either with their own breast or with a bottle. They're cradling this helpless infant and they're holding that child's life in their hands and they are tenderly caring for that little baby. Paul says, I was like a mother nursing a child. I was that gentle among you. You see what I mean about the greatness of this man? May I urge you who are in places of unique leadership responsibilities, don't lose your gentleness. Your tenderness will work. I love it when leaders treat me with tenderness and gentleness. So do you. We prove to be gentle as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Sensitivity to needs, good leaders have that. They also have affection for people. Having so fond an affection for you. And look how the verse ends, verse 8, because you had become very dear to us. Isn't that great? Here is this strong man, an apostle of Christ, looking back on the Thessalonians and said, oh, what an affection I had for you. How dear you were to me. And he used intimate terms. To keep this simple and easily remembered, I want to suggest that people affection boils down to two qualities. Number one, small yet frequent acts of kindness. And second, stated or written words of appreciation. Those you lead should have a few notes from you by now where you are saying thank you. Or where you have said, I appreciate such and such. Or I noticed so and so. Along with that, the people affection includes small yet frequent acts of kindness. We're never above kindness. And to do that, one must have courage himself and security. I came across a little couplet that says, life is mostly froth and bubble. Two things stand in stone. Kindness in another's trouble. Courage in your own. It always troubles me when I witness a strong leader walking over people. It always bothers me. I know they can, and I know they can get away with it as they are whisked off in their limousines. I understand that. It just troubles me. And just an extra piece of advice for no extra charge. If you don't enjoy people, please do us a favor. don't go into leadership. Say no when you're offered an opportunity to lead. Love does an enormous amount of motivation when words fail and times are hard. If they know you love them, they'll go to the wire for you. He told them he loved them. Not only sensitivity to needs, but an affection for people, but third, there was an authenticity of life. I left out the middle of verse 8 on purpose until now, having so fond an affection for you. Now look at this authenticity of life. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Chuck, are you telling me that the gospel isn't important? I'm not saying that. Well, then, what are you saying? The gospel alone isn't enough. Just giving people gospel truth isn't enough if you hope to be an effective leader. This man says, I had such an affection for you that when it came time to serving, I decided I would just give you my whole life. Isn't that wonderful? In fact, look at 9. You recall our labor and hardship, working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you. Hey, this is in Macedonia. Times are hard. It wasn't as rich as Corinth. And he said, knowing that it was hard for you, I didn't expect, not only not expect a raise, I wouldn't accept anything. I earn my own living. So as not to be a burden, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You're witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Wow. He's not bragging. He's just saying, remember, the diligence and the thoughtfulness and the devotion and the purity. We behave like that. And call me into question if I'm wrong, he's implying. Lew Holtz addresses rights and privileges in one of his comments to a reporter. Holtz was the head coach for Notre Dame for 11 years and led them to over 100 victories. Remarkable achievement. Tough schedule, tough school. Then he went to a smaller school and was interviewed by a reporter who was interested in the difference between 25 years ago when he began to coach and now as he continues to coach. His answer is profound. He said, today everybody is talking about their own rights and privileges. 25 years ago, they talked about obligations and responsibilities. You have to lead people like that. And most of us are selfish. Most of us look out for our own rights and want our own privileges. And that becomes tough for a leader if there isn't an authenticity of life. There's one more. And that's enthusiastic in affirmation. Verse 11, as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. That's great, isn't it? Starts with a mother, tenderly caring, nursing. We see a father. What are the words? Does this sound like a dad? Encouraging and exhorting and imploring. You ever been around or sat in front of the father of the high school quarterback who was on the field? Go after Frank. No, not like that. Frank, you've got to do it. And you go, what in the world? Good job, Frank. Good. That's great. Let's go for it. Go all the way, Frank. You think, God, give me a break. What's the problem? He's a dad. You see the high school kid on the field going, Dad, come on, knock it off. But he's loving it. Wouldn't you have enjoyed more affirmation from your father? And wouldn't I? Encouraging and exhorting and imploring. No one should be getting more encouragement from us, more encouragement than our own children. Convicting, isn't it? Good leadership has a balance between the tenderness of a nursing mother and the affirmation of a caring father. I read somewhere that encouragement is oxygen for the soul. It is an oasis in the desert of daily living. What's the desert? Well, it's the pressures that bear down on us, the criticism from those who don't often understand. It's failure when we tried so hard to achieve or to succeed. It's a lack of progress when we just wanted it to happen. It's the breakdown in relationships, and it's a thousand other things. It's the desert. And you long for an oasis to get a cool drink of water, and that comes from the affirmation of the leader who dips his ladle in ice water and brings it out and splashes it all over you, and it cools you off. Why concern ourselves with these qualities as leaders? Verse 12, I love this. Here's the whole goal: so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So that you would walk in a worthy manner. So that you would walk in a worthy manner. We lead like this so others will live like that. That's it. We lead like this so others will live like that. So that we would walk worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Question. Where'd Paul learn that? The Saul of Tarsus we've studied about and that I've read about was the most arrogant Pharisee on the face of the earth. He was a vicious, savage around Christians when he was lost. What happened? What happened to his pride? What happened that caused him to say, all those things that I counted as nothing compared to? That's where he learned it, Christ Jesus. I had walked life's way with an easy tread. I'd traveled where pleasures and comfort led until one day in a quiet place I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul, I'd entered to win this life's mad race when I met the Master face to face. I'd built my castles and reared them high till their towers had pierced the blue of the sky. I'd sworn to rule with an iron mace when I met the Master face to face. I met him and I knew him, and I blushed to see that his eyes, full of sorrow, were fixed upon me. I faltered and fell at his feet that day. All my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place, nothing else could I see but the Master's face. My thoughts are now for the souls of men. I've lost my life to find it again. Ever since that day in a quiet place when I met the Master face to face. Somewhere between the Damascus Road and the visit from Ananias, a transformation took place that continued to be revealed in the life of Paul, because Christ came to live as a master in his life. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to forget how this talk has been appropriate for so-and-so or somebody else, or how you wish somebody could have heard this. This is for you. This is for me. And if you've never met the Master, this is your moment right now. You won't be struck down and stricken blind. You won't be in the midst of some hidden spot for 3 days waiting for somebody to come and tell you what it's about. That was Paul's experience. But you know how strong-willed and proud you are. You know how slow you are to encourage and how reluctant you are to affirm. You know if you're greedy. You know if you're self-serving. This is your moment to have the Lord turn you into a nursing mother and a gentle father who encourages and exhorts and affirms, who can bring about integrity where there has been deception and error and self-will. I invite you right where you're sitting to turn your life over to Christ. Don't even think about waiting. This is your moment. We have a staff of very qualified people who would love to talk with you. They'll help you find your way to what real leadership and living is all about. Thank you, Father, for never giving up on us, for working with us, and amazingly, by your grace, working through us. Thank you for the part of this talk that has been most appropriate for each one of us. You've pierced through and you've penetrated down to where we live, and we're grateful. We feel convicted. I know I do. And I thank you for your patience with me. I thank you for putting up with me in all of my impatience and strong will. Thank you, dear Father, for speaking in such a way that each one of us knows what the next step needs to be. Be with us as we take it. Let us never return to the way we were. Thank you for Christ, who not only comes to transform us, but enables it and energizes it. Meek and humble of heart, the Son of God, who could have blasted this earth with 1,000 self-serving miracles, tenderly walked and worked among the people of his time, and some were never the same again. Do that now, Lord, at this place and in our midst. For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Even when our world is shaken by a crisis, like the attack on American soil in 2001, God proves himself faithful. Our job as followers of Jesus Christ is to align our perspective with God's and leave the rest to him. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. Stay with us because we've set aside several minutes to hear a closing comment from Chuck. But first, I want to remind you that Insight for Living has produced a wonderful book for you. It's called Life is 10% What Happens to You and 90% How You React. I'll tell you more in just a moment. But first, this very important reminder about a deadline we're facing. 4 weeks from now, Insight for Living will complete another ministry year, and we're in a virtual race to the finish line. Here's Chuck.
There's a lot at stake this month, and we know that when all of us band together, we can easily reach the June 30th goal. Our mission at Insight for Living Ministries is to make disciples, plain and simple. And that means we're equipping Christians here at home as well as around the world to think biblically so that Christians are prepared to act biblically. We want the truth of God's Word to flow through the veins of every listener, like healthy red blood pumping life into the hearts of every follower of Christ. I love the way Charles Haddon Spurgeon once put it. With a twinkle in his eye, Spurgeon wrote this: "It is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in spiritual language, and your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord so that your blood is bibline." I love that line, so that your blood is bibline. By the way, what's your blood type, Chuck? Next time they draw a sample from my arm, I'm going to tell the nurse, I'm bibline. By the way, what's yours? Here's the point. June 30th marks the end of our financial year. Our needs are enormous, no exaggeration. But really, it's not about money. It's about equipping clear-thinking Christians day in and day out. I'm calling you to be part of something phenomenal. God will use your gift to cultivate bibline Christians. By investing your charitable donation in Insight for Living Ministries, you're equipping others to think biblically so that they're prepared to act biblically. Take down this contact information and then please get back in touch with us today. Together, let's accomplish something phenomenal.
It's easy to respond to Chuck Swindoll. Just choose the method that's best for you. You can feel free to speak with one of our ministry reps by calling this toll-free number, 800-772-8888. And you can give online at insight.org/donate. To send a check in the mail, just address your donation to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Maybe you've been listening today and you've become aware of your need for a Biblene attitude. These habits don't come to us naturally. A healthy attitude starts by understanding God's Word, the Bible. To that end, I'll point you toward our featured resource today. It's an engaging book by Chuck Swindoll called Life is 10% What Happens to You and 90% How You React. And to enhance your personal journey, you can also purchase the accompanying 90-day reflective journal. It's called Cultivating Joy in Life's Circumstances. To purchase the Attitudes Bundle, including Chuck's book, Life is 10% What Happens to You and 90% How You React, and the journal, call us at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/offer. I'm Bill Meyer, urging you to join us when Chuck Swindoll continues his biography of Paul, a man of grace and grit, Thursday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Leading as Paul Led, was copyrighted in 2001, 2003, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.